Now we're going to read some verses together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading at verse 40. Luke chapter 8, and we'll read at verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 50. We know God will add his blessing upon the reading of his word. Thus far as we have looked at the people that Jesus met, we have been looking at different men whose lives had much to say to us concerning the gospel. However, tonight we're going to consider a woman, and we're going to look at the woman Luke describes as the woman with the issue of blood. This is a very interesting chapter that we have read from in Luke's gospel because it shows the Lord Jesus Christ in all his mighty power. He has power over nature, and if you look at verse 22, you'll read a passage where the Lord Jesus Christ calms the storm as the disciples are in a boat crossing the lake to get to the other side. He has power over nature. Even the very winds and waves obey him. He has power over devils, and we see that as he commands an unclean spirit to come out of a man who was demon-possessed. If you look at verse 26 through to verse 40, you'll see that story in its completeness. He has power over death, and we see that in the raising of Lazarus, of Jairus' daughter in Luke 8, 49 through to 56. But tonight we also see that he has power over disease, because we see him here dealing with the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8, 41 through to verse 48. The woman with the issue of blood is a very interesting story, because as we read it in Luke's account, we note that this woman was not the central figure in the story that Luke has recorded for us. Jesus has healed the maniac of Gadara. He has been approached by a man called Jairus, and this man is in a very downcast state. He has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's seeking the help of Jesus because he had a young daughter who was lying at the point of death. She was an only daughter. She was only 12 years of age. She lay dying. And even before the Lord Jesus Christ gets to Jairus' home, that young girl has already died. Young people and children, as you sit under God's word night by night, don't ever assume that you're going to live year upon year and year upon year until you reach old age. Don't assume that somehow you're going to come up through childhood and out through those teenage years into your 20s, 30s and 40s and on until you reach what often people refer to as the allotted span. The fact is, and Jairus' daughter proves it, that you might think that you have a whole life ahead of you and that life could stop at any moment, and you could be taken out into eternity. You go around any graveyard and just stand and browse through those gravestones, and you'll discover there are many young people's names engraved on tombstones, just as there are those that we referred to as being old people. Don't ever assume in life that you have the whole of life ahead of you. You need to realize that you need a Savior and grasp the opportunity to come to Christ early in life. But here's this woman, and she's in the throng who are coming after the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is leaving to go to Jairus' home in order that he might assist Jairus and see what's wrong with his daughter. But he comes to this woman. She's a woman in great need. And you look at how the story unfolds. Because what seems to be an unnecessary delay for Jairus is to be a life-changing experience for this woman who believed in the power of Jesus Christ to heal her. Look at the story for a moment, and as time permits, let's note a few things. Look at this woman, first of all, and her problem. This woman is one of many individuals whom we read of in the Gospels whose name we are not told. She is just a certain woman. Who she was, where she came from, we cannot be sure, but she's in the crowd who are following after Jesus, and we know that she has a very personal and she has a very pressing need. And she realizes as Jesus Christ is passing by that Jesus Christ is the only one who can meet this woman at the point of that need. She had a problem. You'll see it by her disease. We're told this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, not going into the background medically, we can see that this woman had a blood disorder. It was something that historically was very common amongst the women of her day. She had a constant flow of blood that made it impossible for her to feel either healthy or strong. And of course, this woman's affliction was not only something that hindered her physically. According to the law, she was ceremonially unclean. That made life even more difficult for her. Because of what the law said, she would have been shunned by all her people, including her own family. She was excluded from entering either the temple or the synagogue. This is a woman who's really going through the mill. For 12 years, she's got no betterment. She is not healthy. She is going through a tough time, struggling for 12 long years, and her condition in no way has improved. She's not well. She's excluded from her family and from society and battling with an illness for 12 years. She had a problem borne out by her disease. You note also her dilemma. She not only had this blood disorder for 12 long years, to make matters worse, she found no help whatsoever for her condition. Here's how Luke puts it in verse 43. She had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could she be healed of any. Luke himself, being a physician, knew what he was talking about. It would seem from all accounts that according to Luke, this woman's condition was incurable. She didn't have a health service like we have. She would gladly have made an appointment if that had have been the case. But this poor woman tried everything in order to change her condition, but all to no avail. She had gone to the very best doctors of her day. She had sought their help and counsel. She had tried all the available treatments that had come on the market, and one by one they'd all failed her. She had tried so hard, she had spent every penny that she had, and yet her condition had not changed. What a terrible condition she is in. Her disease, her dilemma, her discouragement. Mark 5, we read another account of this story. Mark records for us something very interesting about this woman. Not only had she struggled with this disease for 12 years and spent all she had, Mark says she was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. You see, for this woman, there just seemed to be no way out of her predicament. There seemed to be no hope of change. And this woman had come to an end of herself. You can understand that. The problems of life that we bear sometimes are hard to cope with. There are many people tonight who could put themselves into the shoes of this woman with the issue of blood. It mightn't be because of a disease. It might not even be because of an illness. But because of one problem or another, they're at the end of their tether. They feel worn out. They feel that life has treated them harshly. And they feel that there's nobody tonight who understands them, that there's nobody who cares about them, and that there's nobody who can actually bring about change. Well, that's not so. Because whatever your problem tonight, there is one who knows all about it. There is one who understands what you're going through, and there's one who's able to bring about change. Maybe the problem that you have in your life tonight is sin. You say to me, how's sin a problem? Well, sin's a problem because, like a cancer, it's ravaging your life and it's ruining you. And though you may not understand that or know you may not accept it, that's a reality. Sin is a real problem. It's eating the heart out of you. It separates you from a holy God. And unless and until that sin is dealt with, you'll never know cleansing. You'll never know a cure for that sin. You'll never know what it is to have peace with God. Friends, sin is a real problem for all of us. Thankfully, there are many in this meeting who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ already and repenting of their sin. They've trusted Him as their Savior, and their sins have all been washed away in the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though they have to live with the consequences of their sin, their sins forgiven, it's all under the blood, and God remembers it no more forever. So if you have a sin problem tonight, your answer will be found in Jesus Christ and found in Jesus Christ alone. Maybe you're saying to yourself and maybe saying to me quietly in your own heart, Pastor, if only you knew the problems I have. Not only has sin ravaged my life, sin has ruined my marriage. Sin has ruined my home. Sin has left me tonight floundering with not one problem, but a multitude of problems, and I don't know what to do with them, and I don't know where to go with them, and I don't know of anyone tonight who is interested in me when they see me for what I am and for all that I've done. Friend, I don't know what your problems might be. I don't know what sin has done in your life. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I do know this. That those problems, whatever they are, they need to be brought to the foot of an old rugged cross. They need to be brought to the great problem bearer, the one who not only died for our sins at the cross, but who rose again from the dead, who lives tonight in the power of an endless life, who's interested in every single one of us, and who wants to come alongside us, whoever we are and wherever we are. He wants to come alongside us, and he wants to help us bear those problems. He wants to lift us out of that merry-go-round that we find ourselves on. He wants to take us out of the situation that we find ourselves in and give us the strength and the grace to cope, and even in the midst of the problems, to find one who will go with us throughout life, one who walks with us and talks with us along life's narrow way. There's not a problem tonight that's too big for the Savior and for you to handle together. Ah, but Pastor, if you only knew the depth of my problems. Pastor, I've tried all kinds of things. See this woman with the issue of blood who tried everything and found no cure. I've done the same. I've done the same. I've tried the bottle and that didn't work. I've tried this, that, and the other thing. And it only made a further mess and made my life worse than it ever was. And I'm in a situation tonight and I don't know where to turn. And I'd say to you, my friend, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The Lord Jesus Christ not only wants to save you from your sin and deal with the sin problem in your life, he wants to be your stay. He wants to be your strength. He wants to help you carry your load. You say to me, Pastor, does that mean if I come to know Jesus Christ tonight as my Savior, that all my problems will immediately disappear? No. There are many good, godly people tonight, and they're carrying so many burdens and all kinds of problems that we know nothing about. But here's the difference. They don't have to face them alone, because the Lord Jesus Christ is with them every step of the way. What about you? Not only down and out in your sin, discouraged with your portion in life, defeated as you look at all the problems that you're bearing. And there's one tonight who loves you just the way you are, who understands you better than you understand yourself. And there's one who's waiting and willing to save you and to share his life with you, to give you life that will see you through the darkest of days and the most difficult of nights. And come what may and come what must, bring you safely home one day to heaven, where problems and burdens will be no more. You don't need to continue on that road that you're traveling alone, for Jesus wants to come alongside you and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Christ is the answer to my every need. Christ is the answer. He is my friend indeed. Problems of life, my spirit may assail with Christ my Savior. I need never feel, for Christ is the answer to my need. Many of us have proved that, and he could be the answer to your need tonight too. This woman and her problem. I want you to note this woman and her persistence. Humanly speaking, and according to the words of Luke, it seems that this woman was without hope. She had an incurable disease. It seemed as if her agony was going to continue. She'd just have to live with the pain and discomfort. But this woman must have known something of Jesus, and she must have grasped that there was hope in him. For here's what we read in verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. That's very interesting, isn't it? There's no doubt that she knew something of Christ. And like the crowd, she's there that day. A crowd thronging after the Lord Jesus. And she's there because she's heard of Christ. And she knew that if there's going to be any hope for her, her hope must be found in Christ and in Christ alone. She knows that Christ is able to do something for her that others couldn't do. And she came behind and simply reached out in faith and touched the hem or the border of his garment. Why did she come behind? Because she was afraid to come out into the open and make physical contact with Christ. Remember that this woman was frowned upon in society. This woman couldn't meet with her family. The law forbid it. Ceremonially, she's unclean. She's not able to come to the temple. She's not able to enter into the synagogue. She doesn't want to come out into the open and make contact with Christ, so she came behind him. You know, I'm convinced that there are some of you, and you know your need of Jesus Christ, and I think there's a part of you that says that you want to be saved, but you're afraid to come out into the open. You're afraid to say to me at the door, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I know that I need to be saved and I want to be saved. You don't want to come out into the open because maybe your family tonight are putting pressure on you, or maybe it's the peers are putting pressure on you. You're thinking about getting saved. Huh? Don't be so stupid. And you won't come out into the open and acknowledge your sin and acknowledge your need of a Savior. Friend, that's the way you're going to have to come, because you'll never be saved unless you come to Christ. This woman didn't want to be discovered, but she wouldn't be deterred. She pushes through the throng of people crowding after Christ. She comes, and in simple faith, she only touches the hem of his garment, but she believes. She believes that that is enough for her to be healed of her disease. Other people had failed her. The doctors had let her down. The best of physicians couldn't meet her need. And in a moment of time, she comes to Christ and everything changes immediately. What a mighty Savior he is. Could I say to you tonight, if you're ever going to be saved and have your need met, whatever that need is, you'll have to come to Jesus Christ, because there's no one else that can help you. There's no one else that can save you. There's no one else that can cleanse you from your sin. There's no one else tonight who has the power to change the circumstances that you find yourself in. It's Christ, and it's Christ alone. She believed it. That's why she came behind, and she only reached out in faith and she touched the hem of his garment. But Jesus soon brought her out into the open. He turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" And nobody answers. Jesus says, "I know virtue has gone out from me. I know that somebody has touched me." And the disciples look at him and say, "Lord, look at the crowd thronging around you. How do you know somebody's touched you?" But Jesus already knew about this woman and her state before he asked the question. He knew her name, he knew her nature, he knew her needs. He knew what she had just done. And the Lord Jesus Christ rewarded her for her faith, because he drew her from the crowd and he wanted to show publicly what had happened. And he turns around and he says to this woman, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." She came in faith and Jesus rewarded her for her faith. She reached out in faith, only touching the hem of his garment, and that was enough. And the Lord Jesus Christ embraced her with open arms. and sent her on her way, changed, and never to be the same ever again. Do you know the lovely thing about salvation? It's only a step of faith. It's only a reaching out in faith. Leaving your sin, the Bible calls that repentance. And reaching out in faith to the only one tonight who's able to save a sinner like you and a sinner like me. And here's the interesting thing. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, the Lord Jesus Christ knows your name. He knows your need. He knows your nature. He knows everything there is to know about you. And if you come to Him in faith just now, and it doesn't matter how deep down in sin you might be, it doesn't matter the problems that you're carrying around with you in your back, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ just now, and you come in simple childlike faith, and you reach out to Him, and ask Him to save you, He'll do it, and He'll do it right now. You don't have to even wait until you come to the door and say, Pastor, I'm coming out into the open tonight. I want to be saved. You could do it sitting in the meeting where you are right now. Just in simple faith, bowing your head and saying, Lord Jesus, I know my need. And I know I'm a sinner. And I know that You can save me. And I know that You've died to save me. And I know that Your blood can cleanse me. And I know that You can make me fit for heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, I come and I come right now. And I can assure you on the authority of God's Word, Jesus Christ Himself said it. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You wouldn't be the first man or woman or young person to be saved sitting in your seat at a gospel meeting. And all it takes on your part is for you to turn from your sin and to reach out in faith and embrace the Lord Jesus. And you could go home tonight with those words ringing in your heart, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood, God by His Spirit and washed in His blood. Will you come tonight in faith, embrace the Savior? This woman did. This woman and her problem, this woman and her persistence, this woman and her peace. A lovely phrase is used by Luke in verse 44 when he says this. Immediately, her issue of blood stopped. Stopped. And Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She's healed immediately. And she's healed completely. And she goes on her way rejoicing. Can you imagine what those words must have meant in the ears of that woman? For 12 long years she's lived with her condition and all its disappointments. For 12 long years she has lived life with nothing but trouble and turmoil and no hope of change. Everybody has said to her, there's no cure, you've no hope. And in a moment of time, Jesus gives her hope, for Jesus cures her, and Jesus does for her what nobody else could ever do. And He does for her what she could never do for herself. He does it in a moment of time, and He heals her immediately and completely. You see, friends, listen. There's a great incentive for you and me, whatever your need tonight. There are people in society and they're getting on with life and they're living in the depth of despair. These are people with all kinds of problems that you and I perhaps know nothing about. They're downcast, they're despondent. They've talked to others and people's response to them has been, "Ach, well, would I tell you, just get on with life, because as far as you're concerned, you've no hope." But you'll always have hope in Christ. You'll always have hope in Jesus Christ. There's one tonight who's waiting and willing to save you. There's one who's waiting to transform your life, to deal with your sin, to deal with it immediately, and to deal with it completely. And all it takes on your part is a response of faith. And for you to come tonight with all your sin and your shame and all those things that weigh heavy in your heart, and simply to look into the face of a loving, living Savior and to say, "Jesus, I come. I come." You could go home from this meeting at peace with yourself. But far more importantly, you could go home from this meeting at peace with God. Your life changed. And you'll find in Christ a wonderful Savior and all that you'll ever need in time and for the whole of eternity. The world outside might say that you've no hope, but I have a Savior tonight who offers you hope. Whatever your sin, whatever your state, he says, "If you come and trust me, you'll find in me everything that you need." This woman proved it. I'm sure Jairus wasn't a bit pleased, especially when the news came that his little daughter had just died. But what was an inconvenience for him was a moment that transformed this woman's life. And she came to the only one who could help her. And he healed her immediately and completely. He can do the same for you. He can do the same for me. And Jesus Christ is the only hope that you and I have. Will you trust him tonight, even where you're sitting, and leave the meeting rejoicing in a wonderful Savior? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, the reading of your word tonight has reminded us of one who has the power over nature, the one who has power over death, demon possession, and even disease. We thank you that whoever we are tonight and whatever our need, that need can be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. We pray for those that are not yet saved. Maybe for somebody tonight like this woman, struggling for years, longing for relief, for peace and for joy, but never knowing where to find it. Father, will they find it in Christ tonight? And may you give them the grace to do just that. So speak to all our hearts, speak through the ministry and song, and bless all that has been said and done tonight for our good and for your glory, and for Christ's sake. Amen.